Did you ever wish you had a friend in high places, someone to help when the chips are down? Did you ever wish that you had someone to talk to when you were lonely? Someone to listen to your problems, someone who cared, someone who would love you even if you were in the wrong? Have you ever heard someone say, he doesn't have a prayer, or she does not have a prayer? And what they mean, of course, is that he or she is helpless and hopeless. Have you ever felt like you didn't have a prayer, that you were hopeless? When you felt hopeless, wouldn't that be nice to have a prayer for you? Wouldn't that be nice to talk to God and know that he was listening? Wouldn't it be nice to know that God loves you and will help you? Because if God loves you, you are not hopeless. If God will help you, you have hope. If God loves and will help you, well, things will work out. Perhaps you never felt hopeless. Perhaps you're one of those beautiful people that we see in magazines with symmetrical features, good hair, perfect teeth, great talent. Or perhaps you are a good athlete, or always get A's on tests, or make people laugh, or as they say in the song, your daddy's rich and your mama's good looking. Or perhaps you have succeeded in your career, or things are just well for you. Things are going your way. There are people like that, you know, that everything goes for them, or at least it seems to be the way. Beautiful, successful, never in doubt. But beautiful people, they have their problem too. One of my favorite authors was a journalist, and he wrote many books. His name is Philip Yancey. He talks about interviewing the beautiful people, the famous football players, the movie stars, authors, personality from TV, and he talks about how he idolized them, how we want to be like them, how we want to know every detail of their lives, their clothing that they wear, the romances, maybe even the toothpaste they use to have such great teeth. Then he goes on to say, yet I must tell you that in my limited experience, these, our idols, he says, are as miserable a group of people as you can ever meet. Most have troubled or broken marriages. Nearly all are hopelessly dependent on psychotherapy. In a heavy irony, these larger-than-life heroes seem tormented by incurable self-doubt. That's taken from the book from Philip Yancey, Where is God When It Hurt? Tormented by incurable self-doubt. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Those people that we put on pedestals, admired by many. But we know that it's true in a way, because we read, some people read the tabloids and we find out that, hey, he doesn't have a great life. He's not all glitter and gold as we may see them. We know about their broken marriages. We know about their addictions to booze and drugs. We know that their talent has a dark side sometimes, tormented by incurable self-doubt. If the beautiful people find themselves tormented by those doubts, we need not to feel odd if we, too, sometimes feel like lonely, misunderstood, isolated, uncertain. That's part of the human condition. That's what we live someday with ourselves. That's how Jesus' disciples felt at one point, lonely, isolated, and uncertain, You might even see that they maybe even felt betrayed. Just what Jesus was talking about, leaving them. You see me now, but you won't see me later. He was talking about dying. The disciples had made great sacrifice to follow him. They had staked everything on him. They had walked away from their fishing business. They had left home. Some of them even left their father in a boat while fishing. They had allowed themselves to believe that Jesus was the one who would turn everything around. He would make everything right again for us. They had believed that he was the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who would save Israel. And now he was talking about leaving them. Can you imagine how they felt? The sense of betrayal, maybe. Why had Jesus asked them to follow him if he intended to leave them? Why had he brought them this far and then to leave them on their own? Jesus knew that his disciples were afraid. So he made them a promise, and he said, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another counselor, that he may be with you forever. The New Testament was written in Greek, and the Greek word is translated comforter is parakletos. What does the parakletos mean? It means someone called in to help. A paraclete could be a lawyer called in to defend you. It could be a witness called to testify on your behalf. A paraclete could be anyone called in to help you in your hour of need. Jesus, knowing that he would soon ascend back to the Father, he promised the disciple a paraclete, someone on whom they could call when they needed help, someone who would be there for them in their hour of need. Jesus promised his disciples that this paraclete would be with them forever, always. That's where we come in. The paraclete that Jesus promised to these first disciples is also available to us. This paraclete is there to help us when we need help, to guide us when we need guidance, and to steer us rightly, to protect us from harm. When Jesus talked about the paraclete, he was talking about what elsewhere is called the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit dwelling within each one of us. God's Spirit that is living in your heart. The promise that Jesus made to those first disciples is a promise to us also. Jesus has made it possible for us to have the paraclete, a helper, on whom we can call in time of need. God with us. God dwelling in our hearts. That might seem pretty academic to you, but it's especially useful when, what they say, when the rubber meets the road. In the nitty-gritty parts of our lives. But it is not academic at all, because it works, and the Holy Spirit does help when we ask for it. I remember reading about Colonel Thomas Schaefer, the highest-ranking military officer in the U.S. Army, and he was in the embassy in Tehran when the embassy was overrun and the Americans were taken prisoner. The colonel was a seasoned veteran, and he was a strong man. However, being taken prisoner there in a hostile nation, not knowing if he would ever see his family again, he was held in a solitary confinement, in a tiny cell with nothing to read, nothing to do, and Schaefer found himself at the edge of his own limit. But he was a Christian, so he got down on his knees and he prayed. And he said, God, I cannot handle this. I need your help. And he says, and I got it. He received the help that he needed to survive those long, seemingly endless days of captivity. The Holy Spirit gave him strength that he needed. We have, or we will experience in our lives, the stress and pain of saying goodbye to someone close and dear to us. My father was diagnosed with cancer in 1997. It took 24 days before he was gone. Looking ahead and thinking about those that we lost, we might have said things like this: I do not think I can handle it. And looking back now, I would say, I don't know how I was able to handle it. But the truth is, as a family, we did, and you will also handle it. I had a car accident in 2008. I'm still having some mobility issues, and I deal with something called CRPS, called the chronic pain syndrome. There is no miracle cure for it, but I thank God because I can see the sunrise and the sunset every day. The lady that was in the other car that hit me was not so fortunate. She passed away that night after the car accident. And her 15-year-old son was transported to the CHEO, which is the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario. And there he was put into a medical coma for 4.5 months. He will never be a normal 22-year-old man now. He has mobility issues, speech impairment, no more short-term memory. All this because of a car accident. I was coming home for supper. They were going home for supper. None of us made it that night for supper. But all I know is this, that the Lord did provide as he promised, and coming to trust in him is enormously encouraging for us to face what the future is. And you see, those who live in the presence of the Holy Spirit cannot expect easy lives. Jesus never promised us a bed of roses. In a sermon I did a few weeks ago, I mentioned that the fact that we are Christian does not shelter us from being cold, being sick, having a cold, having problem with our health. If it would be so that we should be sheltered from the pains and trials, I would not be here today preaching to you. I would be back in Eastern Ontario, I would be working, and who knows, maybe counting the years, the weeks, the days, the hours I would have left before my retirement. But in the midst of all our troubles and stressful situation, the Spirit helps us to prevail no matter how difficult the circumstances are. Earlier in the sermon, I did mention Philip Yancey, who interviewed football heroes, baseball, movie star, television personality, only to find that these beautiful people had feet of clay, that they were tormented by those incurable self-doubt. He went on to talk also about the other side of the coin, the people whom he called servants, missionaries, doctors, nurses, working in the third world countries, linguists living among primitive people in remote places, often for decades, to translate the Bible for these people. And Yancey goes on to say, I was prepared to honor and admire these servants, to hold them up as inspiring examples. I was not, however, prepared to envy them. But as I now reflect, he says, on the two groups side by side, stars and servants, the servants clearly emerge as the favored ones, the graced ones. They work for low pay, long hours, no applause. Some people would say that they are wasting their talents and skills among the poor and the uneducated. But somehow in the process of losing their lives, they have found them. They have found the purpose for their lives. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit. As he delivered on that promise, we receive the Spirit at our baptism. And we can expect the Spirit to help us when we need help. Anytime, day or night, the cache is never closed. The wicket is always open. We can expect the Spirit to guide us rightly. The only question is whether we will follow him faithfully. If we will, God will bless us with lives that become stronger day by day, with faith to drive out the fear out of our lives, with life solid at the core. I would like to close today with an old Southern prayer, and it goes like this. Oh Lord, help me to understand that you ain't going to let nothing come my way that you and I together can't handle. Amen.